2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. A forgiving heart. A forgiving heart. If you would, stand for reading of the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. But I determined this within myself, that I would not come again to you in sorrow. For if I make you sorrowful, then who is he who makes me glad, but the one who is made sorrowful by me? And I wrote this very thing to you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow over those from whom I ought to have joy, having confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote to you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have so abundantly for you. But if anyone has caused grief, he has not grieved me, but all of you to some extent, not to be too severe. This punishment which was inflicted by the majority is sufficient for such a man. So that on the contrary, you ought to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. Therefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love to him. For to this end I also wrote, that I might put you to the test, whether you are obedient in all things. Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. This is the Word of God. Please be seated. Now, as you know, 2 Corinthians is the most personal of Paul's letters. He talks about ministry, he talks about giving, and he talks about motive. So anyway, he's addressing false apostles who are challenging his teachings, challenging his apostleship, and saying, in essence, what right do you have to teach us, Paul, the things that you're teaching? What right, Paul, do you have to teach us? What right do you have? What are your credentials? You're not really an apostle, and you're questioning this. And that is a knife in the heart of Paul, and he's going to address it. There is an actual fight for control of the church. There's a fight for the control of the minds of the people within the church by these false teachers, false apostles that are coming on the scene. And there was always the effort in the Corinthian church to introduce false teaching. There's always the tendency, there's always that pressure that comes into a body of false teaching. We need to believe this new thing. Now, if you remember in 1 Corinthians, which was just written 1 year prior to 2 Corinthians, okay, that there was baptism for the dead that was being interjected into the church. That was actually a teaching that was going on in the cults of that day, of other religions in that day, and it seeped into the church. Paul addressed that. They were turning a blind eye to blatant immorality in the church. They were compromised. There was a compromised group of people within the church. They were turning their eye to the sexual sin that was occurring into the church. There was division. There were factions. There was not unity in the church. These people were immature. These things were coming in and not being addressed. Paul addressed all of these. There was drunkenness and gluttony at the Lord's table. Now you talk about compromised, that's compromised. And there was a misuse of spiritual gifts, particularly tongues and prophecy. Remember, when you're immature, what do babies want? They want to be in the center. They want to be the ones noticed. And certainly those folks that wanted to be standing up with tongues and prophecy, they wanted to be noticed. And Paul gave very strict guidelines on how to do tongues, how do we use tongues in the body, and prophecy. It wasn't that we believe that tongues have ceased. We don't believe that. We believe that there's an appropriateness of it, but it has to be done according to the guidelines in Scripture. So Paul addressed these things. Now last week, there was a challenge to Paul's sincerity. Now how did they challenge him? They accused him of changing his mind continually. He was waffling. He said that he was going to come, but then he didn't come. And the false teachers used that as ammo against Paul. And I asked you a question last week. Did you ever change your mind? Yeah, of course we have. And in addition to that, we always have to be ready as Paul, because Paul did not whimsically just change his mind. Say, I just don't feel like doing this. You ever been there? I don't want to do it. And it wasn't his attitude. He was seeking God in prayer. God changed his course, and we have to be ready for course changes. We went through that. Course changes in life. We plan. We make preparation, but have a spirit ready to change course as God directs. Remember, have a plan, but be prepared for God to change your direction. Now, Paul was not wishy-washy. because his plans changed. As a matter of fact, we see in 1:21 that he was established, he was anointed, he was sealed, and he was given the Spirit as a guarantee. And we went through those words. He was established. He was trustworthy. He was trustworthy. He was anointed. Remember, it's not some mystical thing that happens, that you have an anointing from the Holy Spirit to carry out the mission that he's given to you. He's given you a calling. He's given you the power to carry out that calling. You have been sealed for security and ownership. He owns you. You belong to the Lord Jesus, and he gives you the Holy Spirit as a guarantee and a pledge, like an engagement ring. We are betrothed to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is the wedding ring, so to speak, and we know that consummation will take place at the marriage supper of the Lamb when we are raptured and go into heaven. Okay? So, Paul was saying that I am the real deal. You can trust me. All these things have happened to me. And I have a question for you. By the way, how do people view you? Are you trustworthy? Are you established? Are you anointed? Are you working in the anointing that you have? Or do you feel inadequate? I mean, who feels inadequate?